1 Corinthians 15:21 says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Then it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So it says, by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we know that God spoke to Adam in the garden and commanded him not to eat of the fruit. He said, in the day that you eat of it, he said, you will surely die. And the Bible tells us, it says that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. And there he's not saying that you never can tell with God, but it's a specific ratio that he's using. That a day is as 1,000 years. And so God spoke to Adam and said, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And what happened to Adam? Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. He died within the day. Nobody crossed 1,000. So it was within that day. So when God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you surely die. So that's what happened. And then it says that it was by man that death came. So by man came death. Now when Adam died, two things happened. He died spiritually and then he died physically. He died physically because he had died spiritually. So that's the first thing to understand. So when it comes to physical death, it came as a result of what? Spiritual death. Okay. Then you look at the manifestations of death. So when it talks about the manifestations of death, it's not... Sickness is death in manifestation in the body. That's the manifestation of death in the body. So incipient death is what? It's sickness. It doesn't kill the person yet, but that's the goal of that sickness. And all those things would not have happened if not by Adam's transgression. That's why it says that by man came death, and by man also came the resurrection from the dead. When he says by man came the resurrection from the dead, he's talking about Jesus Christ. So without Adam's transgression, sin would not have come and death would not have come. That's why he says that for us by man came sin and death by sin. So in the same thing he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 15 here, that death came as a result of one man's transgression. So Adam ushered in death. And death refers to also decay. So you find organs that are probably not functioning as they should. And all that is because of what? Death. So that's what it means. Okay. So there may be multiple natural causes of sickness and all that. But the mother of all of this is Adam's transgression. That's what ushered it in. So genetic causes, familial causes, environmental causes, all kinds of things. None of these things really is material to the believer. It's not a big issue. The main thing is the solution. The main thing is the solution. Okay. Now, it says, so what I want to like get into is, like, because we're talking about divine health, divine healing, and all that. So what is the premise for this? The premise for divine health and divine healing, the first thing is what you hear. The second thing is what you believe. The third thing is what you say. And the fourth is what you eat. Okay? So I'm going to be expounding on all these starting today, and then we'll continue. I said the first thing is what you hear. So I'm starting with that today. What you hear, what you believe, what you say, and what you eat. So it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Then he says, For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The best time to hear the word on divine health and divine healing is when you are well and strong. That's the best time. The next, second best time is any time. But the best time is when you are well and strong. That's when you should hear the word and pay attention to it. That's why it says, my son, attend to my words. And there, again, in the Hebrew is dabar. So he says that, attend to my rhema. And then verse 22, he says that, because they, what? The words, the rhema. He said, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So he says that the rhema can give life, or it gives life. That's what he's saying there. And he says that health to all their flesh. It's talking about physical health to all their body. Bodily healing is what he's talking about here. Bodily healing. That if this man who is the subject of this message, actually, if he attends to the rhema, he says that it will be life to him and health to his physical body. So just by exposing themselves to the word, to the rhema consistently, what will happen? He says that it will be life to anyone that finds them, and it will be health to their flesh, their physical body. Okay, now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And Moses was addressing the Israelites, and he said, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So he's telling the people, he says that the Lord allowed them to get into the wilderness. He allowed them to get hungry, and then he gave them manna that they didn't know before. He said God trained them this way so that they know that it's not only by food that they live, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So actually where it says by every mouth, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, where it says word that proceeds is a phrase. So in the Hebrew you don't get it broken down, it's just a phrase. But then usually with these things, the New Testament will tell you, or when it is repeated in the another scripture, it will tell you what is said over there. So when you go to Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, when Jesus met Satan, or Satan came and tempted Jesus, and he began to, the Bible says that now Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, I think Luke 4 from verse 1, was led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it says that in those days he didn't eat anything. It says afterward, what happened? I don't know, it's actually chapter 3 going down. It says that after chapter 4 said he returned in the power of the Spirit. So chapter 3 was after his baptism. It says that he was led up into the wilderness. And then it says that, and in those days he didn't eat anything. And afterwards said he was hungry. He was hungry. And then he said, and the tempter came to him and said, if really you are the Son of God, he says, turn these stones into bread. Turn these stones into bread. Then the Bible says, Jesus responded to him and said that, it is written. That's what it's saying here, Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is telling you that when he says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, the word there is every rhema. Man will live by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Okay. Now, let's look at it in Luke chapter 4 also. Luke chapter 4 verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema of God. So there again, it is what? Rhema. So every time you hear the rhema of God, life is ministered to you. Every time you hear the rhema of God, the life is ministered to you. Just like hearing the rhema. So I said, number one is what you hear. How you hear is part of that anyway. So, because sometimes You can have someone, they are listening to the word, okay? But they are not really listening. They are not really listening. It's like Matthew chapter 13. Jesus Christ spoke to the people and said, the kingdom of God is like the sower who went out to sow. And then he said that when he... So I'll be teaching you how to listen. So you keep looking at me, okay? Don't look anywhere. Don't look behind. You keep your eyes on me, okay? I'm training you. Are you listening? Good. So he says that the sower went out to sow. And then he said, when he went to sow, first he cast out some of the seed. And he said that they fell by the wayside. And then he said that immediately the birds from the air came and snatched the seed away. Then he said that, then he scattered some of the seed and some fell among thorns. And then he said that the thorns choked the seed. Then he said, some fell on rocks and they sprang up immediately. They sprang up immediately. The moment they sprang up immediately, he said, but because they didn't have any root in them, when the sun came up, what happened? They all died off. So the disciples, and then he said, the last category fell on good ground and they germinated and bore fruit. He said some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Now, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Master, teach us this parable. Jesus said something. He said, don't you understand this parable? He said, how can you understand any parable if you don't understand this? He said that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word. Hallelujah. He said, if anybody hears the word and does not understand, this is so important. Now, you see, it's also telling us something. Whose duty is it then to understand? Come forward. Whose duty is it then to understand? Whose duty? So he's saying that if you hear and you don't understand, then Satan comes to steal the word. So whose duty? Is it the person's duty or is it God's duty? But if it's God's duty, why would Satan be punishing the person for something that God is responsible for? So it means that it is you. You are responsible for understanding. Hallelujah. Now look at the approach that people have when it comes to the secular things. Secular things. They are in class. They have this math test that is coming. Math. And then they don't understand this differentiation. They know it is coming tomorrow, because the teacher has promised that it is part of the exam. What do? They don't sleep. They will roam from hostel to hostel, dormitory to dormitory, looking for somebody who can explain this for them. Is that not so? Somebody to explain it to them. That's what they do. So you see, that person is looking to understand. He doesn't mind asking five different people until he has a full understanding of this. So that's how they approach a subject you want to understand. That's how you work towards, isn't it? Something that you are determined to understand. You go for it. Hallelujah. You go for it. You look at, you read, you go look at for videos, you follow the teacher to their house. You want to understand this matter because it is of consequence. So who is responsible? That person. The person who will say, oh, as for this thing, I don't understand. Then that's a different matter. But the one who is determined to understand. So you go and ask questions. You inquire. And then he says, my son, attend to my words. He says, listen. There are people who have various approaches to listening, you know. And we do that sometimes. Maybe like we are driving, we are listening to the word. Okay. But part of our concentration is on the road also. Then or we are doing, like you are listening to the word and you are on Instagram or doing something else. And part of your attention, maybe 40-60% is on the word, but 40% is on what the other thing that you are looking at. But you see, you are not giving it your whole attention. At that point, you're not giving it your whole attention. So how you hear, absolutely important. Absolutely important. So when you find that word, you go for understanding. Understanding. Jesus said, if the person doesn't understand, immediately Satan comes. He said that Satan comes to snatch the word. And he takes the word from that person. Then he says that the other one that falls among thorns, what happens? He said, the cares of this life. He said, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world and all that. He said that they choke the word. So he becomes unfruitful. What does that mean? That means that there's always something contending for your attention. There's always something contending for your attention. What does that mean? The Bible says there are many voices in the world. It says that none of them without signification. Something is always pulling your attention. Where you would see that, like, if you want to see where your heart is, you just find out, like, what it would take you to get through to what you desire. What would it take you to move? For example, when it comes to the Word of God, what will move you to, like, to go for the Word? Sometimes they have these programs that they invite some singer or entertainer from somewhere and he comes. And then you see people, adults, they are in the rain or the sun. It's a long queue, 2 kilometer queue. They are even there the morning. The program starts in the evening. They are there at dawn. Okay? And they are ready to push over somebody, trample somebody, just to go and listen to some secular entertainer. And these are mostly believers. And you see, that person will not even consider, while they are trying to scramble themselves and get into that auditorium, they are not ready for any phone call or whatever it is, because they know that if they lose concentration, they are going to miss their place. You see, that's where the drive is. But the same person casually listening, and you see, casual listening will not do. Giving it half attention. So he says, my son, Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20, he said, attend to my word. He said, attend. Give me your full attention. This was what made Solomon different from the other guys, Adonijah and all those people. Because he said, that's what his father said to him. He said, attend to my words. So by the time God came and said, Solomon, ask what I shall give you. He had the answer. He wrote it for us. He said, my father taught me and said, get wisdom. So it wasn't some innovation on his part. The daddy had told him that wisdom is number one. So when God came and said, Solomon, what do you want? He said, wisdom. All the while he was listening. While these other ones were weighing their hair and all kinds of things, Absalom, Adonijah, and all those people, Solomon was following the father, listening. And then he says that, my words are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It has curative ability. Curative ability. I remember some years ago, someone came to Rema. I think someone had invited her. She had a child. The child had certain problems. So the person encouraged her to bring the child. So when she brought the child, and I told this person that, like, just come for the next 3 weeks. Every meeting, I just want to hold the child. Just like every meeting, just come. Don't do anything. You just come, sit down with the child. During the meeting, I will just hold the child for 3 weeks. Never showed up again, one time. You see? So maybe the person had other things that were pulling their attention. But what would you give? What would you, like, and I know what would have happened, but we never had the opportunity. Because the cares of this life, maybe other things, other factors. And a lot of the time when these things are taking place, you have people who are offering sympathy that is not of any consequence. It's not going to do anything. Oh, we are sorry to hear that. Oh, tell me the story again. What are you going to do about it? You know, those things that make people feel good but don't have results. It's not, Charlie, this is not, we are not for this today. We want what? Results. That's what he says. He says that when you hear the word again and again and again, something happens. It's just like being in the presence of the Lord. Every time the word comes, it does something to your body. It does something to your body. I've had people who, like, they came to Rema, they had some issue or whatever. Just by sitting there and listening to the word from start to finish, by the end of the meeting, they don't know where the problem left, when it left. Just by hearing the word. That's why the first thing is what you hear. The key to divine life. Number one, what you hear. And you have to hear it consistently. The rhema. The Bible says that rhema has curative ability. It will reprogram your cells. Your cells will respond to that rhema. Hallelujah. Do you realize what happened to Moses? Moses went up the mountain. And then he was there. Some people have said that because of Moses, they are doing 40 days dry fast. Okay, all the best. But this is not what happened to Moses. The Bible says that Moses went there and he laid before the Lord. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing and drank no water. But this was not an ordinary fast. He wasn't waking up in the morning, going to work, whatever, going to class, doing whatever it is, going on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. This was a different kind of thing. The guy was constantly there. For 40 days, God was speaking to Moses, giving him what? Rhema. So obviously, it will preserve his life. So when the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, it says rhema, rhema, rhema. So the fasting that is done without that rhema being delivered, that person will get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. So I've done 7 days dry. And you are dry because nobody sent you on that mission. Hallelujah. But it preserved. Moses said that, the Bible says that at 120, Moses looked like he was 40. His eyesight perfect, his physical force unabated. So number one I said is what you hear. Absolutely important. Now, let's go to Psalm 107, verse 17. Psalm 107, verse 17. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of meat. Their soul abhorred all manner of meat. I wanted to just pause there and talk about that a little bit. It says that fools, because of their transgression and because of their ignorance, it says they are afflicted. The first one, it says their transgression. It says the fool goes to do things that get him into trouble. The number two, it says that, and because of their ignorance. Now, ignorance and lack of knowledge are not exactly the same, but ignorance is somebody who ignores knowledge. That's where ignore is right there, right? Somebody who ignores knowledge. He says that they are afflicted because of their transgression, because of their ignorance. And then he says that their soul hates all manner of meat. Do you see that? Their soul hates what? All manner of meat. So all kinds of things coming up, like don't eat this one, don't eat that one. It says touch not, taste not, and all kinds of things. It says that these things are simply glorifying the body. They are simply glorifying the body. That they, for some reason, they decide that, okay, they said they are so abhors all manner of meat. All manner of meat. You see, creation, there's, creation itself does not have any power to redeem anybody. Creation. So any attempt to get what God offers or to get the divine life by emphasizing on these things, what to eat, what not to eat, and all those things, it is rooted in fallen creation. It cannot succeed. Now, there are times where from within you would say, okay, I don't want to have more of this anymore, or I want to take this and all that. But that's you personally. It is, does not become doctrine for everybody. Are we together? It does not become doctrine. People come and it says that, and you realize that in the book of Romans, Paul talks about somebody who, because of his weak faith does not eat meat. Weak faith does not eat meat. In fact, when God told Israel, he says that today is a happy day. Don't be sad. He said, eat the fat. Eat the fat. Now we found out that fat, animal fat, is actually good for the human body. Whereas for decades, they kept saying that, don't eat the fat, don't eat the fat. The body's level, if you draw somebody's blood, the person's level of cholesterol has nothing to do with the fat that the person takes in. And for decades, the knowledge was totally different. But every time, you will know that on the inside, your spirit doesn't agree with the conventional wisdom. And then later on, you find out that you were right after all. The Bible said, because God said it. It's in the Bible. It said, eat the fat. Let me look for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm going to. Amen. Let me find you. I will find you. Hallelujah. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. If what the people are saying is true, then God is trying to poison the people here. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. I will come across it. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for the day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Hallelujah. This is why Paul will say that it's the one who has weak faith that will say they won't eat it, they won't eat that. Because if the person believes the way, this is what he says. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. So clearly, it is telling us something. Then he says that their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Psalm 107 verse 18. There he's talking about the fool that gets afflicted. And then he says, and they draw near unto the gates of death. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. How did he save them? Verse 20. That was just an aside. How did he save them? Verse 20. He sent his rhema and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. He sent his rhema and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's how he healed them. Glory. That's what he said. So God sent that word and healed the people and delivered them out of their destructions. They got themselves into trouble. But it says it was God's word. It was God's word that went forth and healed the people. Hallelujah. That's what happened. The word of God went forth, the rhema of God went forth and healed the people. Glory. So when it comes to this, it's like you have to really struggle to submit to sickness, because God has made so many provisions everywhere you turn. As we go along, you see, it's like it's almost like you have to really be determined not to be well, according to the scripture. But if you are paying attention to the scriptures, you will see that the words of God are clear. Hallelujah. The words of God are clear. Countless examples. The Bible talks about King Asa. Asa tried his best. I think Asa's son was Jehoshaphat, right? Yeah, so Asa tried his best. And then you go to a point, the Bible says that he was sick. And then it says he went to look for the physicians. And then he didn't get better, but he died. Because the word of God came to you that, is it that the Lord cannot heal again? He says, because of this thing. And the Bible says, so Asa died because he sought not the Lord, but rather resorted to the physicians. Going to the physician by itself is not the sin. It's not the sin. Asa put the physicians first. He prioritized the physicians. So, I'm going to Spain to see my doctor, and he's top of his field. He's a number one person in that field. So I'm going to Madrid. I'll go and see him, and then there's another specialist in Hungary. I'll stop by there also. That's what Asa was doing, King Asa. And as he kept on doing that, what happened? He said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" Hallelujah. Paying attention to the word of God is number one. Hearing the word of God. What you will notice also is that this is why the enemy contends so much for the word. The moment you decide, I'm going to listen to this 1 hour message, is when the phone call comes. Or a message. And you realize that these things can be sorted out at any time. It doesn't have to be dealt with now. But it just comes as a distraction. It comes to distract that person's attention from hearing the word of God. God doesn't operate outside of his word. That's why I said that people who say that God has a special relationship with them outside of his word, they don't know what they're talking about. God's word, it says that he has exalted his word above all of his name. Which means that he's not going to have any special relationship with anybody that is contradictory to his word. Nobody. Hallelujah. Like the person who said, oh, as for me, the way God speaks to me is by dreams. Only by dream. By dreams. I said, then there's a problem. That's a problem. Because how is that? You can't even look at it scripturally. That's the primary way. The person must fall asleep. Hallelujah. So getting into the word, we're talking about the divine life. And we say that this has been made available. It's been made available. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. God will speak to you through many ways. Dreams, visions, and all that. But the primary way will not be by dreaming. In the New Testament. In this New Testament. Okay, so let's go to Isaiah 53. Verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. How is this even possible? This scripture is talking about Jesus, the Messiah. How is it even possible that when we shall see him, there's no form, no comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him? When the Bible says clearly that Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and had favor before God and man. So how is it possible that he says that there was no beauty that we should desire him? So this was an event. He said, when we shall see him, first of all, he said he grew up. He grew up as a tender plant. He grew up. It was when they saw him that he had no comeliness. At that point, he said there was no beauty about him. He said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is where sometimes the translators could have just done the proper thing. But anyway, because when he says a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, he's not talking about like somebody who was just sorrowful. The word is what? Makov. And makov in the Hebrew means pain. Okay? Physical and mental pain. That's actually what it means. Physical and mental pain. It says that when we shall see him, he was a man acquainted with what? Physical and mental pain. That's what it says over here. Now let's go on. He says that, and acquainted with grief. Again, the word there in the Hebrew is not just grief, as in to grieve, but it's what? Koli. And koli means what? Sickness. The word is sickness. The primary word there is sickness. Sickness. Like when God told the Jews that, I will not permit any of the illnesses that came upon the Egyptians to come upon you. Sickness. That's it. Koli. It does not mean grief. It means sickness. He was acquainted with physical and mental pain and then physical and mental sickness. That's actually what he says. Okay. And then he says, he is despised and rejected of men. Verse 4, surely he had borne our, again, griefs and carried our sorrows. The words again are makov and koli. Okay. So physical and mental pain. And then physical and mental suffering. Physical sickness. Okay. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe, we are healed. So Isaiah was looking into the future and seeing this thing. But do you see how he started? He said, Lord, who has believed our reports? Because what he was going to say, even believers will fight this. In fact, when we started teaching on divine healing and all that, people were opposing us from all over the place. Now it's mainstream, Charles, but you realize that in the beginning it was not so. People were fighting for the right to be sick. It's true. Even other believers, okay, fighting for the right to be sick. It's like somebody went for a meeting. So the minister was talking about how, like, faith and all this, and the person got angry and went out. So later on, somebody said, what's the problem? He said, that man is trying to blame us for everything. So the man was teaching was that you are responsible and you have to take the word of God and use it and all that. He said, no, why? Why is the person trying to make them responsible for everything? So he got angry and stormed out of the meeting. Anyway, he says that Jesus, by his stripe, he says that we are healed. So this word, he says, who has believed our report? Because what he is coming to say would be so strange that people will struggle. And the moment they hear it, what they begin to show you is, what about Minister so-and-so? What about Bishop so-and-so? What about Prophet so-and-so? You see? But that's why I talk about working knowledge of the word. And I've touched on how hearing the word and receiving the word by faith is one way, and ministering by manifestation is also another way. Okay, ministering by manifestation. So that is another way that people can receive their healing. So people don't understand, they confuse the two. That the person who is ministering by manifestation, a lot of the time, or sometimes, you know, Paul would have told Timothy that, make sure that you're operating by the gifts. He said, but study to show yourself approved. He didn't say, make sure you're operating by the gifts. He said, study to show yourself approved. So you can be operating by the gifts, but you do not understand the word on healing. It's possible. So when the unction hits, or the manifestation is in operation, you see that mass healings, miracles will happen, but the person does not understand how to take the word of God and put it to use. And a lot of people, great ministers of the gospel who had the anointing in great measure, the tremendous miracles and everything, a lot of them did not understand the word of faith when it comes to healing. This is something that you have to appropriate for yourself. Hallelujah. You just imagine the time they locked down the nations and all those things, and then that somebody's looking for somebody to lay hands on them during that period. Do you realize how that difficult that can be? If especially you have a congregation with 3,000, 5,000, where are you going to find a pastor? Where are they going to find the pastor at that time? So they have to get into the way. Because some of the ministers are also in hiding from COVID. So they themselves are trying to keep themselves from COVID. So they are not going to make themselves available. They are also underground somewhere. You see? So hearing the word of God, knowing what the word of God says, what has God said, and how do I apply this? During that time that you want to build something, or you want to build your health, build your physical strength and all that, it's not a time for things that are inconsequential. Inconsequential. Appropriate dressing for Christian women. And it's not of any consequence at that time. What you want to know is what the rhema is on the divine life at that time. Is that not so? That's the number one thing. We are not interested in how long should somebody's skirt be and all those things. At that point, it is what? Inconsequential. So I said the first thing is what you hear. And what you are hearing must be what? That rhema of God must be coming to you. It says that let it dwell in you what? Richly. Hallelujah. Richly. So you should be able to pull it from here and pull it from there and pull it from all over. It should be something that you can draw on at will. So the moment it comes to you, it is something you feed on until. That's why Peter said, keep in mind the rhema that has gone ahead of us unto you from the prophets and the apostles. Keep it in mind. So you retain it. Retention. Because it's a sword, it has to be handy. What good is a sword if you left it at home? No, it has to be handy. So it must dwell in you richly. And then you pull it from all over the place. The enemy doesn't even know what's cutting him. Hallelujah. So that's so important. Getting the rhema. And it must abound. It must abound. Hallelujah. It must abound. Yeah. So many. You can start. Here he's talking about by whose stripes you were healed. You know, he says that surely he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. You know, so by his stripes you were healed. It comes to Matthew 8, I think verse 17. It talks about that. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were sick and many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. To fulfill what was written by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And then you go, and then he goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, so that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. So he's telling you all these things all over. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. He says that for they are life to those that find them and health to all their physical body. Glory to God. So you're going from all over the place. All over the place. So as you retain it like that, then you can deploy it. You deploy it at will. Your goal is to get to the place where you can use the rhema at will. Hallelujah. At will. At will. Very important. So this is where you are comfortable with it. You know, there are things that you can do, but you have not attained proficiency. So you have to organize your thoughts anytime you're going to do it. Like maybe when you started learning to drive, you have to like process your if it's a manual vehicle, say depress the clutch, you know, like fully turn on the ignition, okay, and then change the gears to first or whatever. Like you have to think it through every time you sit behind the seat. And so maybe 6 weeks later, now you don't even have to think about it anymore. Hallelujah. And that is where you want to get to with the word of God. That's where you want to get to with the word of God. And if you don't, like, while you're on the way, what the enemy tries to do is to distract you. Last week we read about how Lillian Yeomans was just praying. She said she was praying. She was praying a lot, but she didn't get results. And she herself knew it. She knew it. I thank God for, she was honest. You realize that? She wrote it down. She said, because I don't believe. But when many believers would not agree that they don't believe the word. They will debate it, they will argue. They say, but so-and-so pray for me, and so-and-so pray for me, and all this, but they don't believe the word. And then she herself said it. She said, light had not yet come. You understand? Light, illumination. So you feed on that thing until the light dawns on you. And she said, when the light came, she said she was no longer even conscious of the symptoms. She said she knew that she was well. And the symptoms were, she didn't even think about them anymore. She just knew so well that she was healed. She was perfectly okay. Hallelujah. There's something about the word of God. It's predictability. The ability to predict an outcome. Okay? That's one attribute of the word of God. So that you can know that this thing is only going to get better. It cannot get worse. Hallelujah. So predictability, very important. Knowing that if I engage the word, it will only get better. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Yes. And that's why sometimes you can tell someone that, okay, so maybe over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be praying with you, like, or I'm going to be ministering to you once a week. I know where we are going. Do you get it? Like, I know. It's not... We are not trying to see something. I know exactly where we are going. It's getting better. It can only get better. Predictability. That's when you understand how the word operates. How the word operates. So taking the word of God alone, you can achieve results from it. Hallelujah. I mean, how is it that this man, Hezekiah, was sick? The Bible says he was sick to the point of death. And then the prophet Isaiah has come to visit you. He said, wonderful, send him in. He's a good man. Said, the Lord says, get your house in order, you're going to die. That was the rhema that Prophet Isaiah brought to Hezekiah and then left the palace. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned to the wall because he knew that somebody was bigger than that prophet.
Hallelujah. He knew that somebody was superior to the prophet. So the Bible says he said, Lord, what's all this? He said, the dead cannot praise you. Those who are dying cannot glorify your name. He said, only the living can praise you. So how do you benefit if I die right now? And then the Bible says that God spoke to Isaiah, said, go back and tell Hezekiah. He said, I've heard his prayers. This is Hezekiah who was not born again. This is Hezekiah who was not born again. He said, I've seen your tears and I'll restore health to you. And then he added 15 years. You see, the thing in that case, it would have been good for Israel if Hezekiah had died. Oh, yes. It would have been good for Israel if Hezekiah had died. How do we know this? Hezekiah, those 15 years he had, he gave birth to a boy called Manasseh. And this Manasseh became king after Hezekiah died. And Manasseh was one of the worst kings that Israel ever had. Go and read about Manasseh. The Bible says that he did wickedly, more than any of the kings before him. So what God was trying to save Israel, but Hezekiah's faith stood in the way. Glory. So look at it. So even when Israel was at stake, Hezekiah's faith still kept him. It's almost like once somebody stands in faith, God is obligated. How do I know that that's when he had Manasseh? Because Manasseh was about 12 years old when he became king. So obviously it was during the 15 years extra time that. Hallelujah. There's something about it. Another thing I want you to see is that a lot of the time, there's always sickness is incipient. It just starts with things that are bothering you, but not really stressing you. Like, they're just gently oppressing you. And so by the time you realize that it's become very serious, like, now it's become very uncomfortable. Okay? It's just some will say minor headache that they feel. Like, I just haven't drunk enough water today. And the following day, they still haven't drunk enough water. And then they still haven't drunk enough water. And then soon then they realize that maybe it's not water. Okay? That's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Don't pamper any form of discomfort in your body. And the way that this is operate, sometimes you look like crazy. You look crazy. Yeah, we're laying hands on ourselves, rebuking things, commanding things to line up and all that. Sometimes you look crazy. But it's better to be crazy and be well. Hallelujah. It's better to be crazy and be well than not to be crazy and not to be well. Hallelujah. There's something about it. So all I'm talking about today is what? Rhema. I said number one is what you hear. The key to divine health, divine life, number one is what you hear. And of course, when I'm talking about the rhema, that rhema has to do with divine healing. What has God's word said about the matter? What has God's word said about the matter? That's why usually I like to know the behind the scenes. I like to know behind the scenes. So I like to know like what happened behind the scenes. So I go and dig, I go and look. Yes. And so, because it's exciting. Oh, Lillian Yeoman, somebody will run with that. Lillian Yeoman was sick and she had this addiction and it was broken. How was it broken? She has written a book. This book will tell anybody who never read the book. She wrote a book for us to tell us how it happened. To tell us how it happens. And you will see the scripture, there's a pattern to it. There are patterns. And the thing about patterns is that they are reproducible. So always aim for that. So like Joel Osteen has a sister, okay, Lisa. She's now Lisa Combs. Lisa Osteen Combs. And Lisa had an ailment at birth. They said it was cerebral palsy. So she couldn't walk, she couldn't speak, she was just there. So at 4 years old, still had to be in the crib and everything. And Joel says that John Osteen was one of the friends of Kenneth Hagin, great man of God. You know, like he was a man of of the word and everything. So John said he realized that his daughter could not have faith for herself. So whatever was going to happen to her depended on him and his wife. So what were they doing? They'll keep her in the basket, and every day, morning, evening, they'll be preaching to her, speaking the word. And then she said, he said that every evening the kids will come and kiss their mom and dad and good night and go upstairs to their room. But Lisa could not speak, and Lisa could not walk. And then they kept speaking to her every day for months. You see? Glory to God. If someone like Abraham were alive at that time and came in and laid hands on her, she got up. Praise the Lord. But what if Abraham wasn't there? It didn't matter. The word of God was there. So then, after months, she said one time, all the kids were saying, good night, daddy. Good night, mommy. I love you, daddy. I love you, mommy. And then she suddenly heard a sound. He heard a sound. He said, it was like someone stamped. I love you, daddy. He said he knew he had gotten his miracle. Today, when you see, she's a preacher. Lisa Austin comes. You hear her preach the word. And she's perfectly well. Perfectly well. That's for taking the word and putting it to use. Taking the word and putting it to use. Hallelujah. They kept speaking. It looked like on the surface nothing was happening. But things were changing. Everything was being aligned. Whatever organ cell was deprived of oxygen or whatever, everything was receiving the word. Until suddenly. And then she got up. And then she could walk. And then she could talk. She grew up perfectly fine. Hallelujah. So when it comes to God's rhema, we've established the importance of it. So when it comes to the rhema concerning healing, it should be your most prized possession. For a believer, when you are born again, I said that the number one subject you should study is divine health. Because everything else hinges on your being well. Do you realize that? Everything else hinges on your being well. You have to be well to make the money. You have to be well to preach the gospel. You have to be well to do any kind of good that you want to do. Hallelujah. So, hearing the word is so important. Giving it your attention. Even though we hear the word all the time, there should be times that at least when you are hearing the word, that's the only thing you are doing. Amen. There should be times that at least when you are hearing the word, that you are not doing anything else. You are only hearing the word. Meaning that I can hear the word when I'm driving. I can hear the word when I'm doing something else. But there should be a time where I'm only hearing the word. I'm not doing anything else. That's hundredfold. You see, it's a Psalm 30, Psalm 60, Psalm 100. And it's because of the nature of the soil. 30% attention, 60% attention, 100% attention. And then you hear it again and again until it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of you that you know. You know that you know that you know that you know. It has become a part of you. Hallelujah. And the thing is that the word does not fail. It will always work. He said, so is my rhema that proceeds out of my mouth. That's what God said. He said, so is my rhema that proceeds out of my mouth. He said, it shall not return unto me void. You see, he said, but it shall accomplish what I sent it to do, and it will prosper also. It will prosper. Hallelujah. So, we are going to stand up. We are going to declare the word. So today, this is what I'm teaching on. I said the first thing is what you hear. The next thing is what you believe. Sometimes you have no idea what people actually believe. You assume that everybody believes the same thing. It's amazing sometimes. But when you listen to people long enough, you eventually get to hear what they actually believe. Have you noticed that before? Like, somebody could be excited. But then one day you realize that, this is it. And sometimes I use that as a diagnostic tool. I use that to diagnose the problem. When I want to help somebody, I just let them keep talking about the thing. just keep talking until it will come. Okay, and then when you identify it, then you say, okay, so this is what you need to change. Hallelujah. This is what you need to change. So I want you to just stand and talk to the Lord. Thank the Lord for His grace, for the word of His grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.